Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thank you very much for joining us, everybody. We are live worldwide on Close Up Radio Live, and it's a pleasure to have you here. And again, Jim Masters here to present to you a spectacular guest who's returning to the Close Up Radio Live series. We're very excited to have Jose Marcelo Barquero Alvarez of Half-Life Crisis joining us. Matter of fact, the author known as J. Marcelo Barquero Alvarez has at times been called Marcelo Barquero or even BZ, the nickname that shows up on his blog, which is called Half-Life Crisis. Not to be confused with a midlife crisis. This title refers to the fact that most of us spend so much time toiling away to make a living that we forget to actually live. You'll learn more about this title and its meaning in this conversation today on Close Up Radio Live. BZ will also talk about his work as a writer and a blogger. In particular, his two full-length books, Authoritarianism and Propaganda, The Puppet Master Tools, and Woke and Proud, The Charlatan's Inconvenience. On this conversation, BZ will again talk about how he got his nickname, talk about some highlights of his naval career. He will also illustrate the wit and intellect that made his blogs and books both thought-provoking and entertaining. He'll discuss what prompted him to write this new book and also the meteoric success of his first book and how his followers of the web posts have increased since that first book made its debut, and of course the last conversation we had together here on Close Up Radio Live. It is all part of an effort to express his unique views on an old-time politics and on current events as well, to enable people to be more aware of what's been happening. None of it is accidental, and it's all, of course, to help make more informed decisions and wise choices. This is some of the wisdom BZ shares as he speaks. He also shares, with an accent that related to his heritage and birth country of Ecuador, BZ came here as a youth with his mom and his brothers. Today, he is the ultimate symbol of the American dream. If you'd like to learn more about the books and more information, and we'll mention this again during the show, the website is halflifecrisis.com. But BZ is returning back to the show, and we're excited to have him here to update us on new and exciting things he's been working on since we chatted last, which was last year already. Happy New Year, everybody. Let's welcome BZ back to the show. Welcome back to Close Up Radio Live, BZ. It's a real pleasure to have you here and hope you had a wonderful holiday season.
Thank you so much for having me, Jim, and Happy New Year to you and for everybody out there listening and, of course, to the Close Up Radio team.
Absolutely. It's so nice to hear your voice again and glad that you had a great holiday. And here's to a great New Year for us all. You know, we did another show it's about 2 months ago. You and I were just chatting about that before we went live on the air. And you had released your first book back then. Tell us how successful Authoritarianism and Propaganda, The Puppet Master Tools, has been, including some upcoming book festivals that you're going to be part of as well, which is quite exciting.
Thank you so much. So, yeah, I've been very happy hearing that people are discovering a lot more than what they expected when they started reading my book. And the most common and best compliment that I've gotten is that the content was mind-blowing from the first page on, because everything is written is factual, but it is often hidden in plain sight because it has been normalized in our lives. This is exactly the intent for the book, to expand the mind in so many directions, and I'm happy to hear that it's having this impact. Since the last time that I've visited, I've been invited to be part of the London Book Festival in March in 2024. in the Los Angeles Time Festival the Los Angeles Time Festival of Books in April. And also have been having a lot of invitations to podcasts and interviews. And later this month, I also will be featured in the 5th annual virtual festival for storytellers. So time has been moving really fast and it has been quite busy, but I'm very, very grateful. So 2024 seems to be very promising. The book somehow has been picked up in many countries to include Japan and Canada and Germany. And somehow as I keep researching or just searching for the book, it just keeps appearing everywhere around the world. We somehow reached readers in 79 countries. And really for that, I want to thank Close Up Radio for finding us, because you were the entity that helped us propel into the right direction and to kickstart our message. So thank you so much for that.
Oh, the pleasure is all ours. It was thoroughly wonderful chatting with you when we did a couple of months ago, and I'm glad that that helped sort of launch things for you and get the word out, which is terrific. You have also released a second book, and it has the word woke in the title, and you say you're not taking a stance on the term. So maybe you can share with us about the meaning behind the new book, Woke and Proud, The Charlatan's Inconvenience. And does this book sort of segue from the first one?
Yes, thank you. So the second book, yeah, that is correct. It is a standalone continuation of the first book, which is particularly as an evident example of how propaganda can be weaponized to create a visceral response on different segments of the population. Woke has become a very politically and culturally divisive term, yet most people who are using it have not been able to define it accurately, especially those attacking woke or this so-called wokeism. I personally don't feel one way or the other about the term itself, but I am against the misinformation. Therefore, I wanted to define the term in a systematic way in order to level the playing field for a productive conversation. This is a nonfiction, thought-provoking, historical analysis of how this work took origins, which are right before the American Civil War. And through decades, it has also been distorted into what we perceive for what we perceive it today. The reason why I don't take a stance on the term is because I found during my research that it is almost incidental. We could have used any other term that stands for awakening or be good or fair to everybody, and the same conversation would have occurred by those who find that vernacular inconvenient.
So it's wonderful. Yeah.
Thank you. And so
you've put so much work into all of this, too. You've really researched, you've studied this, you've put your heart and soul in these books, haven't you?
Yes, thank you so much. I do, because I find that it's a historical analysis for propaganda and how authoritarians can use it as a playbook in a matter that they can turn even good people into monsters. And how does that happen? If people are literally convinced enough about a false narrative, then in my second book, I wanted to make it a case study derived from the first book, because this term gets a lot closer in our history. Many that have covered before, they have perhaps confused it in the media when they use the word maybe for a particular political gain or for a particular narrative. So the books are, of course, designed to be a short read, but they're jam-packed with mind-blowing analysis. They're specifically designed to spark that intellectual honesty that I advocate so much about. But of course, each book is meant to be read more than once. As always, all my books have hundreds of Easter eggs hidden within the pages for anybody who would like to go on a quest on this symbolism to find out, you know, what else could be written there. There's plenty of there to find. But all of those are going to be facts that are going to foster that critical thinking paired with that intellectual honesty.
That's wonderful. It really, really is. The artwork on the new volume's book cover was done by your daughter, and you often feature Sammy's work on your website as well. I know her art is abstract and it's spontaneous. Maybe you can tell us more, Easy, about Samantha and when you wrote A Million Words Cannot Really Quantify All That Is Inside Her Beautiful Mind.
Thank you so much. Yes, that is very true. So Sammy's artwork is featuring the cover of my latest book, Woke and Proud, The Charlatan's Inconvenience, But the actual original painting is titled Turbulence, and it's one of the three pieces in a small collection titled Beautiful Chaos that she made a few years back. Of course, it's worth emphasizing that any book's proceeds are intended to go to Sammy's Piggy Bank, but the book's message is meant to be shared with the entire world. I've been adding more and more content in our site to include Sammy's painting and all her collections, photographs, and inspiring visual art. And our site has been getting a facelift now that our little project has been getting a lot more attention. Every time you come to visit us, you're going to see our website getting a little fancier, which is exactly why it's now more of a welcoming place for everybody. So Hadlar Crisis is our daughter that project, which was originally conceived as a manner for her and I to express ourselves artistically in a platform that we can call our own. I especially wanted to make sure that Sammy's original artwork had her own virtual gallery where her expression could be showcased, while at the same time keeping her original work, her original artwork right safe and afford her the opportunity to update her platform as many times as she wishes, with zero outside restrictions. And to me, that was very important as an artist for her to be able to have the freedom of expression, especially as she continues to be growing up. I'll be very honest that when Sammy started to paint, sometimes I really don't know what she's actually trying to encapsulate in her work. Her artwork is just as deep as her gaze, and you can just get lost in her mind and see how fascinating the world she has. I really don't know how she does it, but whenever she paints, depending on the angle and the light conditions, the artwork just pulls you out of these hidden facets. Sammy has a very non-traditional way to paint. When I first started, I wanted to coach her more on technique in a manner that I was taught, and she duly noted. She took some advice, but then she continued doing her own thing. So I'd like to emphasize that she took some advice with poise, but then she wanted to do something that it felt better for her. So me trying to be the pragmatic parent that I am, I actually tried to copy her technique just like she did at the paintings, you know, the same brush strokes and pressures, same angles and colors, etc. I was not able to replicate that at all, especially the manner that she's somehow able to hide and highlight all this figure all over the canvas, like the walking person in the artwork for the Walking Proud book. You just keep finding all these figures that coming up from everywhere else. So even when, before she painted that piece, I already had the epiphany and learned my lesson that I should just let her express herself in the way that she chooses to. I never really know what she's painting until she's ready to sign it, which it's really her favorite part of the process to put her name on the picture. But what it's even more complex is that the way that she paints it is not the way that it's actually intended to be viewed. So once she finishes it up, then she just turns the canvas, and then I go, wow, get mind-blown, and interpreting her artwork is one of my favorite things to do. And that's what I mean, that there's like millions of conversations that she just is able to encapsulate through her artwork. It's amazing. And not because she's my daughter, but I'm being very, very honest and objective when I see her artwork, the way that she portrays it.
That's really terrific. Still proud father for sure. Absolutely. She's a big part of your website content. Yeah. Big part of the website content and the blog posts. Tell us again how the site came to earn its name, Half Life Crisis, and all that folks who go to the site, the readers, will experience. We touched on a little bit of it with the last show that we did, but maybe you can expand on that a little bit more, BZ.
Thank you. Yeah, so Sammy is my little buddy, and everything I do is ultimately for her. So Half-Life Crisis started as our little pet project because we couldn't. We wanted to. So as I would write my articles in extreme detail, and she would paint whatever she felt compelled to do, is the genesis of Half-Life Crisis. So Half-Life Crisis does not equal midlife crisis. It is more of a realization that sometimes times move so fast while we're making a living that we forget to actually live our lives. What visitors can expect to see is a labor of love that started for two generations of artists being the daughter and the dad, who have something unique they want to express. And fortunately, we are able to do so. So for part of this puzzle, and I say a puzzle because it continues to surprise me how it is developing. I like to write about things that I find fascinating and important in certain details, but there is always so much more tumbling in my mind, and the best way to bring it into reality is by having a conversation with my keyboard. For some reason, I can type as fast as I can think, which means that I'm either a very fast typer or maybe I'm a very slow thinker. But either way, there's an reading person analyzing and writing those words, which is me in this case. There's no artificial intelligence behind that. It's all organic. There are bound to be a few idiomatic blunders because of that, and here and there, but nobody's perfect, and I have come to accept my many idiosyncrasies. But our readers and visitors can be sure that everything that I write is authentic. I go into exuberant detail because I really care about the message, but most importantly, because hopefully these words are sparking a level of curiosity to continue exploring the topics we speak about. I can go on a little bit on that, but there's a lot of more projects that have stemmed from Half-Life Crisis, particularly as the world is getting more volatile. My attention has also been directed into the deteriorating geopolitical situation, not just abroad, but also very much in the United States. It is very concerning to me because any other topic becomes a moot point if nefarious chapters in history repeat again. Even though the regimes might be different since World War II, the indicators of history repeating itself are extremely obvious to anybody who has been holding the pulse on these issues. For example, one of my favorite article series, Today in America, where I use it as a time capsule of some of the important events that are in fact turning points in our American history. I don't just always want to talk about politics, but rather talk about life and why Half-Life Crisis tagline. That's why they have like Crisis tagline says, because life is what you make of it. That's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about what makes life worth living. But the fact is that sometimes we have to address whatever is the closest situation to our existence, to our threat, so we can address that in order for us to be able to focus on the other topics that make life wholesome. Hopefully that answers the question.
It does. Yes, it does, in a very authentic and real way. And I think that's what's great about all of this. You know, I hear you've gotten some incredibly positive feedback on the way that you write as well, both through the site and your response to the debut book. Tell us about your particular writing style.
Thank you so much. Yes, I appreciate that my reading base is grassroots in the sense that my message is resonating with readers from all walks of life. Somebody that just happened to stumble upon, and they seem to enjoy my message. We might be separated by the distance, but we're united by the common language, in this case English, even though it's not everybody's first language, but it is a unifying language nonetheless. It is especially nice when I talk in person with other people about parts of my book that either they blew their mind or that they had no knowledge about, but they read it and it sparked the curiosity for additional research. They gained a lot more context on the topic and, more importantly, became a vocal advocate to help the stop authoritarian propaganda on its tracks, particularly for the topics that we are saying that are more emergent. My writing style is down to earth. I write in a way that is more akin to having a deep conversation, you know, like the type of conversations that you can be talking for hours. Time moves fast without even realizing it, but you're enjoying it. There's a lot of symbolism and analogies in my vernacular, and the reason is because I like to take my readers through a journey where they will explore many different points of view and come full circle, although I have to say unapologetically what is in my mind, and which is one of the four reasons why I have like Crisis was conceived. I don't actually give an opinion. Instead, I pose assessments to spark an interest to learn more about it and continue towards a deeper conversation. in my line of work, when I'm not doing Half-Life Crisis as a military analyst, we're perhaps a little bit more brutal when it comes to the validity of the information we disseminate. We say something along the lines of, quote, I don't care about what you, quote, think, or what the quote is your opinion. And this is not meant to be rude, but rather is because we care about what the assessment is. Why? Because opinions are not necessarily linked to empirical facts. In contrast, assessments are based on facts that require thorough analysis to maintain credibility. Why? Because that will be meant for people in certain positions to make decisions on those assessments, and we cannot afford them to make a decision with faulty data. With my writing style for Half-Life Crisis, my books are very akin to that, except that it ends up being a little bit more entertaining and even at some times add a little bit of sarcasm if I find it necessary to drive the point. In other words, my writing is meant to be thought-provoking. Every word I write, everything that I say, however random it might seem, it comes full circle in the context. It's a literary adventure, but every assessment is factual. Hopefully that answers the question.
It does, yeah. That's terrific. And again, I like your outlook and your perspective on everything, and it's exciting to share it. That paperback release date of your second book was December 28th, and that has historical and cultural significance, right? Tell us more about the meaning of it all and the importance of that particular time, as well as how not everything you learned in history as a child in Ecuador was actually accurate.
Thank you so much. So, yes, as I mentioned before, I am very big into symbolism because it brings a nicer meaning and hopefully makes it a little more interesting to the reader. The 28th of December has a lot of cultural significance around the world, but particularly for me, being born in Ecuador, this day was one of my favorites. It was kind of a plain, silly, good intention of pranks to others, much like April Fool's Day. But the actual reason why I chose that day is because of the symbology associated with the Santos Inocentes, or the Innocent Saints. This day is a remembrance for all the children 2 years and younger who were said to be killed by order of King Herod the Great because he felt threatened by the coming of the Messiah. But far from being a religious connotation intended for the book, it is because it drives an important point for my message that an authoritarian who's clinging into power could very well mandate for horrible acts of violence, but the violence and the actual bloodshed is perpetrated by the authoritarian followers under the authoritarian directive, of course. We have moved from those days, fortunately, but I should mention that historians and biblical scholars do not fully agree that Herod baby killing was actually accurate, although a lot of them do agree that he was not what you would call a nice ruler under everybody in his purview, and you can definitely read the history. He was not very kind, particularly with people who were not in his good graces. Some would portray him as a misunderstood yet great leader. The second point that I wanted to drive by choosing this date was because as time moves on, there's a wide possibility that actual facts would get distorted based on people controlling a narrative. And yes, historically, Herod was the king of Judea. He was ruling with his geographically known as present-day southern Palestine. He was born 73 years before Christ in Edom, and he was ruled by the Roman Empire, and he died in Jericho. Even though he was the king of Judea, he was actually born as an Arab. So there are plenty of twists and turns to his story, and I wrote an article about that in my site to go on detail about that. But to wrap the overall point, for this example, when I was growing up in Ecuador, the history lessons we received as a child turned out to be, let's say, less than accurate. It was very polemical even to question the validity of some of those narratives. I post an article about that in my site, www.halflifecrisis.com, because there's a lot to unpack from that example alone. There was, by the way, when I was a kid, some of those history lessons were graded assignments, so if I did not regurgitate that approved narrative verbatim, I would have not had a passing grade. My book is intended to show how these narratives can obscure the real facts in lieu of accepting a narrative that's perhaps a substance created. One particular example is you'll see if you visit my website about Abdon Calderon. He was known as a child hero. Story was actually embellished as a civic driving point. The problem, though, is that by embellishing this story, who was already heroic, he kind of became a parody of itself, and the actual merit of his valor was pretty much now put in question because somebody tried to add additional alternative facts that they were divorced from reality. So hopefully that answered the question.
It does, yeah. It really does, BZ. Your writing is also designed to get people thinking and using their critical analysis abilities more often. Tell us about the willful ignorance and how you hope to see Americans sort of overcome that. It is the goal for us to, of course, defeat authoritarianism, and by appreciating that most people are good people, and we are, in fact, the majority.
Thank you so much. I'll be very bluntly honest, and this is kind of like the thing that keeps me awake at night and why I keep talking in any platform that I can be afforded an opportunity to speak from. Time is at a premium as propaganda is permeating every aspect of our lives and around the world. Even though for many that statement alone might feel hyperbolic, I wish it was. As I predicted on the last time I was on, things did get more unhinged, and once again, nothing had that had happened has surprised me. The reason why I'm writing so much about it is because any other situation would be a moot point if we don't address it right now, particularly this authoritarian propaganda situation expeditiously. What do I mean by that? Well, for example, if you're on a road trip going to another town, but somebody crosses your path unsafely, and you have to address that issue before getting to your ultimate destination. In other words, any accident would be a show delay or a show stopper. This situation, particularly the propagandistic situation that's going on, as uncomfortable as it is quite emergent. And yes, it affects the entire world, and no, fortunately, it's not hyperbolic, but point blank, politics seems to be the most boring, detached topic that a lot of people in countries they can both actually want to talk about. But for those that may choose to stay home, like in the U.S., that they have that option, I do intend for people to become more knowledgeable about politics and not becoming a science, political science expert necessarily, but just to understand that whenever we're not paying attention to something that affects our lives, somebody is paying attention and is able to use that vantage point to their advantage. Through the years, many times when I speak with people, whenever it comes to the time of general elections, like a president or any local elections, they're baffled about the choices they might have at the end on the ballot. But when I ask them if they were about the intricacies regarding those local elections, midterm elections, primaries, etc., I generally get a very puzzled look, as though they were not actually tracking those very important events that lead to the final event. So once I explain that those are the factors that affect our choices for that ultimate contest, particularly a presidential race, they realize that the choices were already made on their behalf long before this first presidential ad was broadcasted without their input. For that reason, I write thought-provoking topics. We cannot fault people for not receiving information if their attention bandwidth has been compromised or entertained by different distractors. In fact, propaganda is meant to create that distraction. If people fall victims of it, it's because it is working as intended. It is meant to be that way. In other words, actually, there's good news. We can raise above that if we exercise critical thinking paired with intellectual honesty. As I said before, critical thinking alone is not enough, because it can foster cynicism and is highly exploitable by propagandists. When the voted segment of the population who decides to stay home becomes aware of that power, then we have a much positive impact in our lives.
Oh, very true. I appreciate that. I want to make sure we get that website in there. Folks, to learn more, go to halflifecrisis.com. You can learn about the books there as well. The book's also available on Amazon, BZ?
It is, yes, thank you. It is available in Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Apple Books, pretty much everywhere that you can actually buy books. It's if you Google just my name, Vaquero Alvarez, or Authoritarians and Propaganda, or Walking Proud, it should be one of the first items to show up
That's
in your
great.
Browser, but most definitely very passionate about this message because it's important. And
that's fantastic.
We want to make sure that everybody's afforded that opportunity to make those decisions with the right data points, particularly if they have been compromised without their knowledge.
That's right, exactly. I encourage folks, again, to go to the website halflifecrisis.com to learn more about everything we've been chatting about today. Thank you very much for joining us, Jose. This was really a wonderful conversation, and looking forward to more down the line. That would be a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me, Jim. I appreciate it. Happy New Year once again.
You as well. Continue the extraordinary work that you're doing because it's making an impact and making a difference in the lives of so many. We appreciate BZ for joining us, and we appreciate you for joining us as well. This is your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, don't forget, I'll be back in less than 30 minutes with another incredible guest celebrated worldwide right here on Close Up Radio Live. Till then, for all of us, have a terrific day. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.